Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
They threatened our dog's life. They threatened to burn down the house.
They had their guns drawn at protesters as if they were going to shoot them.
The president has been pressuring states to reopen quickly.
He flip-flopped like a banked catfish.
They erroneously reported that the president was briefed on this. He was not briefed on this.
This makes Benghazi look like playing with toys.
Come up with evidence or shut up.
Yeah, put up or shut up. Come on, let's see it. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. They are wanting evidence, apparently have evidence, they claim, that Russia was targeting U.S. troops, and the New York Times has blasted this all over the place. And, of course, we're having demands for hearings now in Capitol Hill, and the intelligence sources are saying, we never really had any evidence of this. It's a open-source document. We don't know that this happened. The president's never been briefed on it. The uproar, everything is a crisis in Washington, D.C. Can I just tell you that? And everybody's trying to constantly blow all of this out of proportion. I don't know why I'm consistently surprised by that, but I am. It's like every day is a new day for me. It's just fantastic. Isn't it great?
To the Democrat and the Democrats' defense, they managed to bring back Russia.
Right. You know.
So we thought that was gone, but here it is. Russia's back.
Russia. Did you hear the dumbest question ever asked in a White House press briefing yesterday?
Did you
miss this?
No, we did not.
Ryan Lizza asked Kayleigh McEnany this obnoxious question, cut 24.
And I think a lot of people are trying to understand what his view of memorializing the Confederacy is in a proper place with the Confederate flag. So a couple questions. One, does President Trump believe that it was a good thing that the South lost the Civil War? And then two, is he interested in following NASCAR's example and banning the Confederate flag at his own events?
Well, your first question is absolutely absurd. He's proud of the United States of America.
Kayleigh McEnany must have just,
she's fantastic.
Her jaw must have dropped when this guy asked whether or not the president thought it was a good thing that the South lost the Civil War.
Could you imagine if she would have just been like, no, he's really bummed about it. Like, we're still like stewing on that one.
He's been losing sleep over that since the day he was born.
Here we go. I mean, how could a reporter ask that question of a president of the United States if you don't walk into it with some sort of an agenda? I don't know how you get around that. Anyway, I wanted you to hear that in case you'd missed it yesterday. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk to Emily Taylor from U.S. Law Shield. We'll talk to her a little bit about what happened, the incident on Portland Place, as I'm now calling it. It's like the title of a book. of a cliffhanger.
It's incredibly clever.
It
excited
is.
Excited to
you.
Read that. Sounds like a page turner.
Thank you for saying that.
I got
I
your back
that
here.
Endorsement.
No, we're New York Times bestseller list, number one. Top
Connor Martin is going to join us at 7:47. He's one of the assault victims from the Art Hill incident the other day, the St. Louis statue where a couple of people got attacked by some of the protesters and anarchists who were out there. I still don't know why. There's a picture of a guy getting punched. Mm-hmm. Why is the guy with his fist balled up, smashed into the side of the guy's face, not in custody? Where's Kim Gardner? Hello, Kim. You're the prosecutor. You should be concentrating on that. But that's not her priority these days.
She's doing other important things, like she likes to tell us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like not solving the 94 murders we've had in the city so far. That would be one of the things she's not doing. Right now, though, let's get to our guest. He's a big deal.
Traveling on the road, diners in Orlando, Miami, really manly. That has nothing to do with the conversation. I'm not the smartest guest you've ever had, but the people seem to love me. This was inappropriately close. Maybe not the ilk of Joe Biden. 3, 2, 1.
Battle Hawk.
All right. Todd Pyro of Fox and Friends on the radio this morning with you, folks. Todd, good morning.
You know, you mentioned in your intro to the intro to the intro right there about all the insanity that we see in D.C., and I agree, you know, we have a lot of the same stuff here. It really makes me just kind of want to say, forget the East Coast. I want to move someplace where nothing ever happens, like St. Louis. Oh, wait.
Yeah, good luck. We're famous again. A couple weeks ago, we had a bunch of Hoosiers and rednecks in a pool down at the Lake of the Ozarks, and now we've got local attorneys dressed in pink polos carrying AR-15s.
I mean, I actually had to study for this hit today. Usually I don't.
You better be prepared.
Usually I just have the general knowledge of the events that are happening throughout our world that I acquire through my daily preparation for my job at the Fox News Channel, which, in case the listeners are unaware, I'm currently anchoring the 3 a.m. newscast there in St. Louis. And remember, if you're not up, what am I going to tell you to do?
I think we should
DVR it.
Mm, yep.
Oh, God.
I've got mine set.
I am. Yeah. But, yeah, I actually had to prep this week. My God, what's going on down there?
So what is your perception from afar of our little problem here in St. Louis? Let me ask that.
The thing that I haven't heard, and this is mind-boggling to me, I have not heard this from anybody. And it seems like the be-all, end-all of this case. Were they trespassing? Yes. Okay, let's move on. They were trespassing. If somebody trespasses on your property, are they in the right? What am I missing? What am
You're not missing anything, Todd. In fact, I'm sure it's your legal background causing you to ask that question, and a whole lot of common sense. In fact, one of our local TV stations went out and grabbed a law professor from one of the local law schools here, St. Louis University. Listen to Cut 15, please.
Some people might say, well, why didn't they just go back into their homes? Into their home. And you could argue that as a practical matter, but the law says you don't have to retreat.
John Ahman, professor emeritus with the St. Louis University School of Law, says most of the actions taken by the McCloskeys Sunday appear to be protected by numerous state laws.
They have the open carry law in Missouri that allows them to have their guns in public. We have the Castle Doctrine that says you can defend your house and your lives and your property. And we have the law that says you can stand your ground and you don't need to retreat.
Yeah, so he didn't even mention the fact that the street they live on is clearly marked as private property, right? No public access on top of all of that.
I'd even go a step further than an individual and say, were they on their own property? Do whatever you want with your guns, as long as you're not shooting it and the bullet is leaving the property to go hit somebody else. Then we get into a different situation, such as, did you need to stand your ground? Were you defending yourself? Blah, blah, blah. But if I'm allowed to have a gun in my home and I walk outside onto my lawn, that is still considered my home. I can pretend like I'm freaking John Wayne. I guess we can't say John Wayne anymore. you know. it doesn't become an assault or a battery unless the bullet leaves my gun as an extension of my body and hits the other person. But we're not even at that point. We're not even at that point. You rightly mentioned that they are on private land, and they're on private land within private land. So let's we're missing a lot here. They broke a gate at their house. That is a door, for all intents and purposes. So what we're saying, the people that are reacting and saying, oh, this couple is out of their mind. Well, what would you do if somebody broke down the door to your home, which is your private land, and did the same thing? I don't know what the hullabaloo is about this. And let's not forget that this couple, at least through their lawyers, said the two individuals that did the threatening were white.
Yeah, that's true. That is a true fact. Now, the gate that was pushed open was access to the private street, and I don't think that it was necessarily on their property. But your point is the same. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know about the Todd Pyro Mance up there in Connecticut. Correct?
Well, Mance, let's back up that train. I practically have a box.
So the Todd Pyro household, this is how I feel. I don't live on a private street by any stretch of the imagination, live out in the burbs. But if I heard noise and I walked out my door and there were 300 or 400 people chanting loudly and banging drums walking up my street, and I knew that just a couple of days before at one of these protests, violence broke out, I would probably be sitting on my veranda out here with something other than just a glass of bourbon in my hand. It just makes sense. Her mistake, Todd, and what's gone viral is her poor trigger discipline and the fact that she was waving the pistol at these people. That's what she shouldn't have done.
Again, I have been on a couple stories where I've been trained on how to handle a firearm, so I don't want to embarrass myself in front of the Fox News viewer by showing that I have poor form. But to my earlier point, she can twist that thing around. She can do whatever she wants. She's on her private property. And yes, if it went off and hit a neighbor, then that's when we start getting into reckless, manslaughter, reckless killing, and whether it's manslaughter or, rises to the level of murder, reckless disregard for human life. We're not getting into the law here this morning, but that's where that discussion would lead. Did a bullet fly out of that gun? No.
No.
So the
other thing the national media has not reported a great deal either, Todd, is the fact that a couple of members in the crowd had guns, and they weren't pointing them at these people, but they had guns with them. And the McCloskey said they were aware of that, and that's what alarmed them. So even though, it wasn't really a standoff, so to speak, it wasn't without reason how they reacted. And these are two trial attorneys who apparently have contributed to both parties. Some of the documents I saw yesterday, they've contributed to Joe Biden. They've contributed to Act Blue and some other organizations like that as well. So they've played both sides of the political spectrum here.
When the cancel mob comes for you, it's crazy. What I question for you here? The underlying march was because your mayor gave out the names of protesters in the address. What was the reaction to that? Because that just seems. It seems like you're ticking off everybody there when you're doing that.
Yeah, but here's the thing in Missouri, and I my guess is it's this way in some other states as well. When you address a public body in Missouri, and particularly in the city of St. Louis County, and the former town here, Wildwood, where I used to be a former city councilman, you have to state your name and your address before you address the council so that they know that you are a member of the community. Same in the city. And all of that information can be found through a FOIA request, or in Missouri, it's called the Sunshine Law. So all of the information was public to begin with. Anybody could have requested it. She took the letters. She read their request on her live video feed that she does a couple days a week, I guess. And she happened to mention this letter came from Joe Schmo, and she read his address, and he was asking to defund the police and move the money somewhere else. and the crowd was mad. They accused her of doxing this individual, which all she did was read something that was part of the public record. The interesting thing about it, Todd, is they marched past this house. They got mad at the couple with the guns, and the members of the crowd then doxed the people that lived in that house. They told what their address was, what their name was, where they worked, tried to damage their business. So they did the exact same thing they accused the mayor of doing.
It is a fascinating time we live in. And
isn't it? Yeah.
I don't, but what's specifically the doxing? I mean, what is the answer? Do we create laws? Well, then the First Amendment people are going to go out of their minds.
Yes.
So that's a tricky one. That is a very tricky one.
That's a good point. What have you been covering up there for Fox? Did you cover this explosion of COVID cases around the country?
Yeah, I mean, what haven't we been covering? It's like a roulette wheel every day. What wants to be the top story? And, you know, then all of a sudden we have new entrants, like the story you mentioned with regard to the Russia-Afghanistan troop story, which is all over the place today. And then yesterday, abortion. You know, we haven't heard from abortion in a couple of weeks, so might as well get that back in the news. You know, immigration with some of the court rulings jumped up there. But, you know, COVID definitely seems to be the story that won't go away, much like the disease that won't go away. But, yeah, I mean, it's scary times.
Did you see the story that there may be another swine flu coming out of China that could be the next pandemic?
Would you question my news judgment if I looked at our wheel or a rundown and didn't see it in there? So I said, you know what? I'm going to spare myself that until I do my reading throughout the course of the day. I don't want to depress myself prior to the newscast. But yeah, I saw the headline and I thought to myself, oh, come on. Well, come on, 2020.
It's clickbait. It's clickbait. Excuse my language. If you read the story and then you get three or four lines down into it, and it says that they don't think it's a real pandemic threat, but it is a virus that they've identified that could achieve pandemic status if it's allowed to get out. Well, come on. That's the last thing we needed to hear in 2020.
Until tomorrow's story, which is that disease, the swine flu from China, this part three or whatever it is carried by the murder hornets through that dust storm that is making its way from the Sahara and will come to your house bearing weapons and dox you. That's the next one. Get
that's
ready.
That's coming. I hear it coming. That's for sure, Todd. Todd Pyra, our guest from Fox and Friends. Todd, you heard me play that soundbite earlier from Ryan Lizza. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, I mean, come on. You have your time there in the White House briefing room to ask a question to benefit the American people, to benefit the readers of Politico, which I read. I mean, that has important information. They present what's going to happen in the election. They go through races. There's information in there that I need. That question, come on. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. I said a long time ago that some of the folks up there, and just to name names, Jim Acosta among them, have tried to, they've just made they use it as a platform to promote themselves. When you ask questions like that, you're doing it because in this case, I think it was a mistake on his part, but he's doing it because he knows that question's going to get repeated in every media outlet in America.
Yeah, but he's wearing a mask. And so the ability to write a book and gain all this notoriety that Jim Acosta got from his antics is not the same because you can't recognize the individual. Until I heard the name, I had no idea who that was.
No.
And so much like the NFL where the players complain that they can't market themselves because they're wearing a mask like the basketball players, Ryan Lizza is going to have a tough time marketing his ridiculous question because he's wearing a mask.
That's a good
point.
Not
saying you shouldn't be wearing a mask. But he's wearing a mask. We can't market ourselves when we can't see ourselves.
I love it. I love it. Hey, stay tuned, buddy. I'm sure by next week we're going to have another major St. Louis incident for you.
Or, and hear me out, wouldn't it be nice if we had hockey?
Ooh, wouldn't it be nice?
Talk about the Blues.
Yes,
We could spend 30 minutes on Tarasenko. Just 30 minutes. And the goalie, man. Jordan.
No complaints here. And
Jordan Bennington, yeah, those are names that we've almost forgotten about. A year ago, we were We were celebrating our Stanley Cup victory. So that's, I was kind of hoping we could hang on to this, the trophy for 2 years in a row, but
we still can.
Yeah,
we might.
Too late.
If we, but we have to win it again. Yeah. I was hoping if they just didn't have hockey, we just by default would.
We don't know. I mean, don't spike the football on the season yet. We don't know anything, especially when it comes to sports. Until I see someone on my TV, I'm not spiking a football on anything.
True.
Boy, that's the truth. Todd, thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
You
too,
Todd. You too.
Yeah, Todd Pyro there of Fox and Friends. Interesting to get his take from afar on our mess here in St. Louis
as
we make worldwide headlines for our two attorneys, our gun-wielding attorneys.
I'm glad you pointed out the Ozarks thing because the last two national headlines have been cute.
Yeah, if 2020 was a Supreme Court justice, John Roberts' face would be up there too. So here we go. That's where we are.
Hey, I tell you what, Connor Martin is going to join us here before the end of the hour. He was one of the protesters who got attacked by the statue of St. Louis on Saturday. I was out there before it happened. I'd already left by the time the violence happened. We're going to get Connor on here at about 7:47. Emily Taylor's up next with 2A Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
They threatened our dog's life. They threatened to burn down the house. Seemingly hundreds of people said, "We're going to come back and get you later."
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Emily Taylor is our guest this morning, an attorney with the U.S. Law Shield. And Emily, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm sure that you're down in Texas, correct?
That's right.
Probably even in the great state of Texas, you've seen some of the St. Louis news that's come out the last couple of days, where we had a couple of attorneys come out of their house with their weapons, an AR-15 and a handgun, when a crowd of protesters broke a gate on their private street and marched up their street past their house on the way to the mayor's property. And this has sparked debate in St. Louis and across the nation this morning.
Oh yeah, you guys are the talk of the country.
Oh, unfortunately, again, here we go again. You know, the thing we've talked about locally, though, is that this was a private street. We have the Castle Doctrine, among other things, here in Missouri, which allow you to stand your ground and protect your property. And the attorney in this particular case is using all of the right language when it comes to, you heard him there at the top, they were concerned for their safety.
You know, that really is, and we see this a lot. First of all, the law always is going to favor lives over things. And we always advise, if you can stay safe and not engage someone who is vandalizing property, do so. But magic words are not going to save you. You still need to act reasonably which is what an ordinary and prudent person would do under your circumstances. We've had cases in Texas where people have, you know, I'm standing my ground, I'm in fear for my life. Those words, if you're not reasonable, aren't going to help you. It's got to be, what would anyone else do in your shoes?
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, Emily, we should probably point out that the service that you provide as one of the attorneys for U.S. Law Shield is to be there at the end of the phone line if somebody is forced to draw their weapon for some reason and they need to call and get the advice of an attorney.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting we're talking about, you know, the words you use, because what you say is critically important, even if you've done everything right. I've had clients say things like, you know, I know that I'm going to jail. And they don't mean they did the wrong thing when they shot the person who was breaking into their home. They mean, I had to discharge my weapon. I assume you're going to arrest me. Or I killed someone. That's something you go to jail for. But you can do everything right and say something that police and prosecutors call consciousness of guilt. He had it coming. I know I'm going to jail. Oh, I'm so sorry. All of these things that could be said innocently, but make it look like you have done something wrong and unreasonable.
Well, it gets back to the things you need to think through before you either choose to buy a weapon or carry a weapon or whatever the case may be, which is why having access to legal advice like that could be key. And I'm sure that's something that you guys provide to your clients, correct?
Exactly. And that is the point of that first call to the emergency hotline, is what do I say as soon as the police will be here in 2 minutes? What do I say and not say? And we can start immediately, because if you haven't spoken to a lawyer after one of these incidences, you are going to have to say to the police, you know, officer, I want to assist you in this investigation. I want to be as helpful as I can. However, I've just had the worst moment of my life. I am going to invoke my right to silence, invoke my right to an attorney. I can't answer any questions till they get here. But once they get here, I want to help you. And if you can't talk to an attorney, you can have a little statement ready that an attorney has helped you work through when the police arrive. It can make a difference between an arrest or not.
Sure it can. Yeah, we're talking to attorney Emily Taylor this morning with U.S. Law Shield. You know, as somebody who's owned firearms for as long as I can remember, there were people who looked at what happened there yesterday and were critical of the fact that some strategic errors were made on their behalf by pointing the weapon at the people who were standing out on her sidewalk. Training is such a key here for everyone, because, you know, Emily, I have a local gun range here who's one of my sponsors, the Range St. Louis West. I was talking to them one day when I was in there recently, and they told me that well over half of their clients, their recent clients who'd come in and bought guns, were first-time gun buyers. And I don't think you can stress the need for some level of training enough.
Absolutely. You know, that's a really interesting statistic, because we're hearing that all over the country. I think it's wonderful. I think a lot of the anti-gun sentiment comes from ignorance and fear, and first-time gun buyers will be converts to our cause. But you have to know what you're doing. You have to be responsible. The Second Amendment is under attack, and we all have to be good representatives of the responsible gun owner. It is not a choice, not in today's climate. You must represent firearms and the Second Amendment appropriately. And that includes one of those cardinal rules, which is, you know, never point a weapon at anything you aren't willing to destroy. And gosh, that couple were even lasering each other with their weapons, which is, it was difficult to watch.
Correct. And I'm going to make a statement here, and I won't put you on the spot if you don't want to comment on it. Yesterday, there was a key court decision in the country that I haven't seen get hardly any coverage today. The Colorado Supreme Court upheld the state's 7-year-old ban on gun magazines that hold more than 15 rounds. And this is a great example of why the Supreme Court and who's elected next, in my opinion, is so important, because the Supreme Court punted this year on defining Heller and what your rights are and how far states could go in restricting those rights.
Yeah, you know, this was a disappointing year for firearm decisions from the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, we had so many that could have been instrumental in reining in states that abused the Second Amendment. They declined to review most of those. Of course, we had our New York State Pistol and Rifle Association that was, in fact, taken up, but they punted that ultimately, yes, as well as moot. So it is disappointing. I thought that this composition of the Supreme Court would help us out a little bit more on the Second Amendment. The Colorado law is one of the less egregious examples of states abuse. And, you know, we need the Supreme Court's help. I hope we get it.
That's a great point. Emily Taylor with U.S. Law Shield, uslawshield.com. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. We will talk again soon. And I'm going to get to a quick break here. Connor Martin is coming up. He's one of the victims of the violence by the protesters at the St. Louis statue on Saturday. We'll be right back. Hopefully you've been following what's going on. Of course, we know that the march in the Central West End yesterday, 2 days ago, was related to the protests at the Art Hill there with the St. Louis statue. I was out there on Saturday. I've well documented right there on my Facebook page the nature of that event. Some people were praying. Others were out there just to agitate. There's no doubt about that. And right now we've got Connor Martin joining us. Connor was one of the victims who was assaulted by some of the counter-protesters who showed up at the statue this weekend. He's also a candidate for the Republican Central Committee in Bedford Township. Connor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, thanks for joining me this morning. Give me your version of what happened when you became the victim of the crowd on Saturday.
Yeah, so, well, I'll just start from the beginning. So I arrived at 6 a.m. Saturday morning because I wanted to go out and just clean graffiti off of the statue as they put it up, because I knew they were going to be doing that all day long. And so I started off the day just cleaning sidewalk chalk off of the statue. And then around 11, whenever the people that came to pray the rosary and these counter protesters started to show up, I elected to stop doing that because these counter protesters were incredibly violent. They were yelling in all of these poor Catholics' faces as they prayed the rosary. So it was at that point that I stopped doing what I was doing, and I put myself in between these counter protesters and the Catholics, and I stood there because, again, they're yelling in these Catholics' faces. There were priests that were kneeling on the ground praying. There were women on the ground praying, and these protesters are just vehemently yelling at them and saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to hit us? Are you going to do something about it? And they're doing this over and over. So I put myself in between them, and several other Catholic men then put themselves between them. We formed just a line, a barricade. It was actually kind of cool, a moment of solidarity against this hateful violence that these protesters were showing towards us.
You know, Connor, let me interrupt for just a second. I'm so glad that you made that observation, because that was my observation as well. I know that people have been praying out there nightly, but specifically on Saturday at noon, there was a call for people of all Christians to come out and pray the rosary. I mean, mostly it was the Catholic people of the Catholic faith. There were a couple of priests out there who were praying the rosary. I'm not Catholic, but I went out there and I listened. I observed what was going on, and you had people praying on one side. And directly across from them, people screaming at them, blowing air horns, challenging them, cussing at them. They were so angered by the people who went out there for no other reason than to express their faith.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And myself, I tried to pray the rosary with them, but these people online are actually, they're accusing me of being a white supremacist because I, quote unquote, didn't know my rosary. Well, I was born and raised Catholic. I know my rosary very well, but I couldn't focus on the rosary because I was focusing on all these protesters that I'm worried are going to start attacking us. Yes. So I'm focusing on them instead of my prayers. And so they're calling me a white supremacist and all this stuff, and it's ludicrous. They're being ridiculous, quite frankly.
So I'm going to run out of time here, Connor. You ended up being attacked, correct?
Yeah, I was. Yep, that's correct.
And did they hurt you? What did they do?
Yeah, so one guy showed up. He started yelling at me and my friend for simply praying a rosary. He goes, "Do you guys support this? As in, do you support King Louis?" And we said, "We're just here to pray peacefully." At that point, he said, "That's not what I effing asked." And he started just touching us and pushing up against us and asking what we're going to do about it. We didn't do anything. And then he started attacking people. And then he attacked my friend. So at that point, I came up behind him. I wrapped my arms around him so he'd stop attacking my friend. And then two or three of the other protesters came up and started beating me on the back of the head. And I walked away. So then I let him go. Me and my friend ran away. And I ended up coming away with only a mild concussion and an internal head injury.
Wow. Are charges going to be pressed here? Do you know?
They are going to be pressed. I have the individual's name. For some reason, he has yet to be arrested. I'm not sure why, but we have video evidence of this guy doing this, and we also have screenshots of his Facebook of him bragging about it and laughing about it. He did an interview with KMOV last night, and he said that he doesn't regret anything and he'd do it all over again, but he has yet to be arrested for some reason.
We know why he hasn't been arrested, because Kim Gardner has no interest in prosecuting him. Connor, I'm out of time, my friend. Thank you for your time this morning.
Yep, thank you, Mark. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Be well. Heal quickly. At CMartin4MO, that's Connor Martin there. We'll be right back with Congresswoman Ann Wagner.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.